The Jungle. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so in this third hour, I've got a conversation coming up with Howard Beck, and you are more than welcome to give me a call. Things that I have to get done this hour. Kyrie is misinformed. I want to get to the smack-off storylines, and I want to get to your telephone calls too. 1-800-636-8686. Normally, I probably should reset the top stories of the day. Man, I got so much content. I've got so many things I want to get to that I don't need to reset these things. I've got fresh content, fresh material to get through a third hour. And a few emails. Rome, you mean to tell me a guy from Alabama perks up when talking about a show which features incest? Makes sense. Shane in SLO.
Fictional type.
It's not a fictional type. It's fictional. Rome, holy crap. Your take on Game of Thrones was amazing. Can you please do a separate take comparing Game of Thrones characters to jungle callers? Jim in Chicago. I mean, I guess. Yeah, I mean, sure. Like, Josh in Detroit is Littlefinger. There's your take. Rack me. I'm out. This email reads, sorry, Boston Bags. No grand slam for you. Sign the rest of America who don't talk like drunken losers. Jim in Canton. And this reads, hey, Kyrie. Thanks for the last 2 years of disappointment. If I owned your jersey, I would have burned that freaking thing with rocket fuel to burn up the ozone layer of our flat earth. The Celtics made the Eastern Finals 2 years ago without you on the team. They took the Cavs to 7 in the Eastern Finals last year with you on the bench, tending to your glass knee. Good luck in New York, and don't get hit by the T on your way out. I hope you sign there and KD stays in Golden State and the Knicks get the third pick in the lottery. The end of this season could not come soon enough, and with the lack of performance that you put on in this series, you should have just went coattailing out of Boston before the playoffs even started. Matt in Poland Springs. I'm sure Matt speaks for a lot of Celtic fans. All right, so what about Kyrie? What about Kyrie in Boston? Has anything gone from so good to so bad so fast? And I'm not talking about the incredible ride from one win away from the finals last season to the golf course this year. I'm not even talking about Kyrie pledging in Oakland or in October that he wanted to re-sign in Boston only to bail in May. I'm talking about this postseason, these playoffs, hell, this series. Let's not forget, Boston won 5 straight games to start the playoffs. After a really bumpy regular season, they did flip the switch. Supposedly, they didn't just sweep Indiana in the first round. They did that, and they won the first game of the Milwaukee series. And they didn't just grind out a tight win either. They went to Milwaukee, and they punched them in the face. They beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee 112-90. They beat the Bucks by 22. They had one of their former players telling everybody it was all over after one game. Like, that wasn't a dream. That really did happen. That wasn't even ancient history. That was barely a week ago. Week and a half, maybe. And then they come back and they lose 4 straight. And they didn't just lose 4 straight. They got hammered. They were humiliated. They played arguably their best game of the season, and then they lost 4 in a row and could not have looked any worse. You go up 1-0, you lose in 5. I mean, tip of the hat. That's awesome. Almost as awesome as the chance of go home Boston and Paul Pierce sucks. Paul Pierce sucks that filled the arena last night. But back to Boston. You got to be really special to be that horrible. And while there are a number of different places that we can look, and Milwaukee deserves a ton of the credit. Let's be honest. This is all about one thing. It's all about one thing. Kyrie. Because nothing summed up this season and these playoffs better than Kyrie Irving last night. If you thought this guy was disinterested and disengaged in Game 4, he went to a whole new level in Game 5. And he posted one of the all-time great stat lines. 6 for 21 from outside, 1 assist. Man, that is so Kyrie, it hurts. Elimination game, Russell Westbrook looks at that stat line and says, hey man, maybe you should pass the ball a little more. Remember when Kyrie said this?
You know, from this point on, I don't think you'll see another 8 for 22.
He was right. We didn't see another 8 for 22. Because he then went 7 for 22. And 6 for 21. And you know what tells me how disinterested and disengaged he was? He stopped at 21 shots. He gave up on himself and on his team. I mean, come on, Kyrie. We could have had something really special last night. Maybe even a 40-shot night. Maybe a 50-piece. If this guy had left for the Knicks at halftime last night, would anybody have even noticed? Would anybody have even cared? Hell, Boston fans would have helped him pack. Speaking of Boston fans, remember this moment from back in October. He said back in October, like, if you guys will have me back, I'm here. How badly do Celtic fans want to hit that with a manual buzzer right about now? If you guys will have me back, I plan on re-signing. The only thing more disappointing than him quitting at 21 shots was that post-game presser. I was expecting him to go full-on sour vent, tell everybody to get back to their miserable lives. But instead, he was saying things like this.
I know I won't forget something like this. And, you know, for me, it's just moving on to the next thing and just seeing where that ends up.
Oh, all right. All right. Or how about this? When asked about what's most important to him in his upcoming free agency.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just trying to make it back to Boston first, you know, safely. And get to see my family, decompress, you know, do what human beings do.
Keeping it human. How about this?
Well, they kept a body on me practically the whole game. You know, and then they put us in some rotations offensively and defensively. Did a great job running their offense with pace, making us think out there. And I think that's where one of the important lessons I'm going to take from this is just how smart, you know, our team has to be in order to be at that next level.
Now we're getting somewhere. See, that's like the most telling quote of all. You know, forget that stuff about him complaining about the attention that he received during the regular season and all the cameras being in his face. It's like Kyrie only now is realizing what it takes to be a star in the postseason. Only now realizing that the other team is going to focus on you game in, game out. They're going to scheme for you. They're going to try to take you out of it. They're going to try and stop you. And most of all, amazingly, it seems like he's surprised by this. How he's surprised by that is beyond me. But he just realized it's a hell of a lot harder than it looks. Being the man is a lot tougher than being the man next to the man. And until he proves otherwise, Kyrie's not the man. I mean, he wants to be the man. He wants the perks of being the man. But he does not want the responsibility of being the man. He thinks he's the man, but he's not the man. Like, dude's more like Robin, but thinks he's Batman. Bro, you're Goose, not Mav. You're Garfunkel, not Simon. You're Oates, not Hall. Freaking Barney, man. You're not Fred. Stop me if you see a pattern here. You can star in movies, but not on a playoff team. You aren't the guy, you're the guy next to the guy. Nothing about you says you're a one, nothing. Not in how you play, and even more importantly, not in how you lead. You're the guy who steps up when the actual guy has a tough night. I mean, don't get me wrong, Kyrie is still really good. Really good. He's just not as good as he thinks he is, as a player or as a leader. Like, you're the sidekick. You're Kyrie, you're not LeBron. You're 1B, not 1A. So go find your 1A, because no matter what you think, you're not him. Problem is, this guy does not want to play second fiddle to anybody else. But at the same time, he's not built to be that alpha. It's a bad place to be. So, like, what happens? What if KD is not seriously hurt? What if that's a calf sprain or strain? You know, grade one, grade two, whatever, but it's not an Achilles injury. And then what if KD is all right? And just what if KD goes to New York? And what if Kyrie goes to New York? Is Kyrie really going to be happy being a two? But we know what happens when Kyrie's the one. Bad place to be, man. If you can't accept that you are what you are, namely 1B. Dude, you're Hall, man. You're not Oates. You know it. I saw something else I wanted to talk about today. Jameis Winston. You see this dude's act? I mean, if there's any quarterback that has to get it done this year, it's Jameis. So what's he doing in the offseason? You've probably seen that. And I'll try to get there too. Also, storylines for the Smack Off, 43 days out. All that coming up. You see what I'm saying when I say to you, I don't have to have phone calls? I don't. An NFL draft prank video, which I'm trying to get to. So, give me a quick timeout, and I will continue to jam premium content right down your throat. Big weekend. Don't forget to thank the real pros on Mother's Day. Mom, you got to take care of mom. You got to hook up mom. You got to thank mom. You have to respect mom. Mom has to know you mean it. How do you do that? With Pro Flowers. Pro Flowers lets you choose from a variety of bouquets and unique vases that will suit every single mom style. Then you simply select the delivery date that you want. Pro Flowers carefully packages your flowers and delivers them fresh from the farm. And express delivery means that her flowers will stay fresh. Right now, you can get one dozen assorted roses for $19.99. Or if you want, and I do this every single year, you double up the roses and you get a premium vase, and it's only $9.99 more. Visit proflowers.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, enter my code name, Rome. Proflowers.com, click the mic, code Rome. Mother's Day is May 12th. Do not wait. Order like a pro. Get this amazing rose deal to thank all the important moms in your life. Proflowers.com. Again, find the microphone and then type in Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
This segment's brought to you by Grasshopper. Sponsored by Grasshopper. The virtual phone system for small business. Separate business from personal. Feel more professional in your customer interactions with the Grasshopper Business Phone Solution. Better small business communication starts with Grasshopper. Try it for free at grasshopper.com. All right, I can't lie. This is one of my favorite threads on the program, because it really speaks to what you clones are all about. This email reads, like Kyrie, I also ate for 22. Signed, Beaks at a buffet. Like Kyrie, I also ate for 22. Get it? A-T-E-A-T-E-8. I also, not I also was, or I too was, or I was also. I also ate for 22. Signed, Beaks at a buffet. Like, it's incredible. Like, Beaks was not some super prominent clone. Beaks was not some super polarizing clone. Beaks was largely anonymous. Like, maybe you knew about Beaks in Studio City, but what did you really know? Like, even if I dropped that name on you, let's do some name association. Beaks, Studio City, reaction. What would you say? You'd be like, yeah, I think I've heard of him. But I bet you couldn't point to one take, one tweet, one email, anything at all. So why do I hear every single day about how Beaks is a super fat guy? How did he become a thing? How did Beaks become a thing? How did Beaks become the most popular thread the past few weeks on this show because he showed up in a single picture at a clone event at Laguna Beach. And he might be 10 or 15 pounds past where he should be. Maybe. I don't even know. I don't even care. But you all do. It's incredible. An amazing thread. An anonymous clone who really didn't get on the wrong side of anybody simply posed for a picture. And every single day now he's just getting murdered. Amazing. It's not something to be proud of. I know I'm not as the host of the show. And nor should those of you who are doing it every single day. Let that be a lesson, clones. If you listen and you tweet, and especially if you're a member of the JTP, man, you best have 5% body fat or less. Or you're going to get murdered. All right, so it's been exactly 2 weeks since the NFL draft descended upon Nashville. And while no one knows how any of these selections are going to turn out at the next level, one thing we do know is nobody named Deuce Dominguez was called by any of the 32 teams. But that did not stop hundreds of people and even a bunch of local news reporters from running up on a guy going by that handle for a picture and an interview. The company, House of Highlights, dropped a prank video on YouTube this week. And I gotta say, it's fantastic. Normally, I don't have time for that kind of stuff, but this particular man-on-the-street-style hoax is really too good to ignore, especially when it includes a cameo from Tennessee Titans Pro Bowl offensive lineman Taylor Lewan, which I'll get to in a second. Now, the premise of the 10-minute video is simple. House of Highlights sends one of their buddies named Nelson Vergara to Nashville 2 weeks back, just to walk around and see if he could pass himself off as a potential draft pick. Here's Vergara setting up the whole bit.
Hey, what's good, y'all? My name is Nelson. My boy Lucas, he works over at House of Highlights. He hit me up because they wanted to do a prank video. Now, I'm a big boy. I'm 6'6", 2-something. So I'm looking to head down to Nashville and pass myself off as an NFL draft prospect. Let's see if we can make that happen. Nashville, I'm pulling up on you.
All right, so this dude is 6'6". And if you didn't know any better, you could mistake this guy for a football player, which is exactly what happened when he got to Nashville. The first half of this video is Vergara walking around the streets, downtown, head to toe in Boise State gear and telling everybody he's Deuce Dominguez. It took all of 2 seconds for a local news crew to roll up on him and ask him about the possibility of him going in the first round.
What would that mean for you to hear your name called as the first round draft pick?
It would mean everything. Where I'm from, I'm not supposed to be here, you know what I mean?
It would mean everything. Where I'm from, I'm not supposed to be here. You know what I mean? Oh yeah, Deuce, I know what you mean. I know what you mean about how you're not supposed to be there. But apparently, the local news crew didn't, because they just interviewed a rando in Boise State gear because nobody could be bothered to spend 2 seconds firing up Google and searching the name Deuce Dominguez before interviewing him on TV. Great reporting, folks. Stay hot. Then there was a Titans fan in a Courtland Finnegan gamer. Man, I love Courtland Finnegan. He's one of my favorites. Anyway, this guy's in that gamer, and he really wanted Deuce Dominguez to stick around to bolster the offensive line.
Welcome to Nashville.
Thank you very much.
We need to keep you here because he should be a Titan.
Oh, he needs to be a Titan, huh?
He's in Nashville, so this is where he should be.
That's a grown man in a jersey. That's a bad look anyway. But a grown man in a jersey losing his mind over a player that does not exist is a hilariously bad look. Again, this dude is just walking around Nashville in Boise State blue, telling everybody he's Deuce Dominguez, and he's hooking all these dopes. And in between all this sound that I'm playing from the video, there's a grip of B-roll of people stopping him for pictures and to FaceTime with their friends back home. But the best part of this, by far, is when the hoax character walked into an NFL hotel. The NFL hotel, in fact, where a bunch of players were staying, and he ran into Titans offensive lineman Taylor Lewan. Now, you might know Taylor from the time he beer bonged a cold one right out of a dead catfish at a Nashville Predators playoff game last year. Or you might know him from his beef with Josh Norman. Or you may know him as a really good player. But this, in fact, may be his legacy clip now. Listen as Deuce Dominguez rolls up on Luan and asks a fellow lineman for advice on what it takes to make it in the NFL.
Yo, Taylor. What's up, dude? What's going on, man? I'm Deuce.
Deuce, nice to meet you, man.
I'm looking to get drafted tonight.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm an O-lineman.
Good deal, man. Yeah, I could tell. You're big.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. Look, I just wanted to check in with you, see if you had any advice for a young up-and-comer, man.
Yeah,
I'm really a big fan. So.
Buy Chew.
Chew?
Chew and tobacco.
Chew? All right,
you
cool.
You got to feel the boys, man. If you're going to be in that room, you got to feel the boys. Chew, water, Gatorade. You're going to be all right.
All right.
Going to be all right. I got to roll this back. I'll roll it back in a minute, but listen closely for a few things before he tells him it's going to be all right. First off, Deuce Dominguez tells Luan, quote, I'm an old lineman. And Taylor responds with, yeah, I can tell you're big. It's one thing to deke a bunch of dopes on the street. This guy looks so much like a football player that even a pro bowler at the same position, allegedly, thinks that he's real. Then Deuce ask for advice. And before he can finish the question, Taylor jumps in with, yeah, chew. Buy chew. Chewing tobacco. Check this out.
Yo, Taylor.
What's up, dude?
What's going on, man? I'm Deuce.
Deuce, nice to meet you, man.
I'm looking to get drafted tonight.
Are you?
Yeah. Good I'm an O-lineman.
Good deal, man. Yeah, I could tell. You're big.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. Look, I just wanted to check in with you, see if you had any advice for a young up-and-comer, man.
Yeah,
I'm really a big fan. So.
Buy chew.
Chew?
Chew and tobacco.
Chew? All right,
you
cool.
You got to feel the boys, man. If you're going to be in that room, you got to feel the boys. Chew, water, Gatorade. You're going to be all right.
All right.
What advice do you have for me? It's the biggest time of my life. I've prepared my entire life for this. What advice do you have for me? Chew. Not be the first one in and the last one out. Not S-Y-M. S-Y-M. Save your money. Not watch tape until your eyes bleed. Luan went straight to the dip and the water and the Gatorade.
Chew, water, Gatorade. You're going to be all right.
All right.
Just grab a can of chew. Throw in the bottom lip horseshoe, use the empty Gatorade for a spitter, rinse with the water, be all right. It's amazing advice. And from a Pro Bowler at that, the only thing missing from that was a brand recommendation. Is Taylor pinching and plugging dry dirt like Grizzly? Or is he springing for the top shelf Cope? Gotta imagine he's a straight, long-cut Cope guy. The Marlboro Red Cowboy Killers of Tin Can Chaw. I mean, he's not putting a plug of beech nut in his face, is he? A red man. That moment made the entire prank video worth it, but it wasn't over. Because then Dominguez changed into a suit, and he put on an official Green Bay Packers draft hat and started walking around Nashville and meeting people who were losing their minds just to be in presence of a guy who was handpicked to protect Aaron Rodgers. At one point in the video, a guy in an elevator asks him when he was taken off the board, and Deuce Dominguez says, first round, 30th pick. The Packers picked at 21. They took Darnell Savage out of Maryland. Not fake Deuce Dominguez from Boise State. But again, why bother pulling out your phone and checking the very easily accessible draft board when you can just take a picture with a fake Packer who was taken in the first round instead? And then the video ends at some honky-tonk in Nashville where the MC grabs the mic and welcomes a total made-up human being to the NFL. Man, congratulations to Deuce Dominguez on his selection to the Green Bay Packers. And even bigger congratulations to Dave Gettleman and John Gruden for somehow not drafting this guy. So, the next time you see a bunch of dudes on TV at the draft, either cheering or booing their team's selection, remember this. They have no idea who that person is. And the video from House of Highlights just proved that. Normally, I'm not about that kind of thing, but that was good. That was a really good bit. Good enough that I held it for a few days. All right, when we return, back to the NBA. Howard Beck, a senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report, will be joining us. But If you want the facts and only... Welcome back. All right, more on the NBA. We are joined right now by a senior NBA writer at Bleacher Report. He is a contributor to NBA TV and NBA Radio. He's a friend of the program. Last night was a wild night in the NBA, so I figured it would be all of our best interest to run him down. He happens to be Howard Beck. What's up, Howard? How are you?
Romy, how are you, sir?
Good, good. Howard, how about you?
I'm doing great.
Listen, Kyrie and the Celtics imploded. The Bucks advanced. The Lakers and Ty Lue. The Warriors and the Rockets. Kevin Durant getting hurt. I guess what I'm saying is, how was your Wednesday night?
Yeah, head still spinning a little bit. It feels like this whole postseason's been like this, has it? I mean, ever since the night that, you know, Magic just decided to resign out of the blue, and we all just, like, you know, we're stuck on Twitter the whole night just watching it unfold, and it feels like this is just an extension of that. This whole, the last month or so has just been a wild ride, and I don't even know where to begin with last night. But I think, you know, Durant's injury looms above all of it, right? Because the far-reaching potential effects of that go so far beyond just this series and these playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, that... Kyrie flaming out and what that means for the Celtics and where he may go. It just feels like the entire NBA is in a state of flux, and we're still weeks away from even seeing who wins the championship.
Right. Howard Beck joining us. Depending on the severity of Kevin Durant's injury, I mean, if worst case scenario, that could impact the league over the next 5 years. Best case scenario, just over the next few weeks. But what about this? Steph Curry had 12 points. Howard in the fourth quarter after KD went down. Is that just a function of somebody needing to step up in that moment, or is that a function of some of the KD isolations going away and Golden State's offensive rhythm coming back?
I mean, listen, it's everything, really, right? Because we know what this team was before Durant arrived. We know this was a team that won a championship, that won 73 games, that was built on the strength of Steph Curry's shooting and playmaking and Klay Thompson's shooting, Draymond Green's playmaking, all of that. And so, it, you know, none of that went away. Steph Curry didn't all of a sudden stop being the guy who won back-to-back MVPs, including one unanimously. He accommodated Kevin Durant willingly. That was the whole plan when they got him. And, you know, I know that at times it has seemed like, you know, people have wondered if Steph Curry was kind of, you know, shrinking within that offense. But you know that that capability is still there. And so, I mean, look, that was desperation last night. That was necessity. That was Steph Curry showing that, you know, when push comes to shove, even with a dislocated finger, even with whatever else may be ailing him, he's still capable of being that guy, and he has to be, and he's going to have to be, you know, at least one more time just to get out of this series. And who knows if we're going to see Kevin Durant again in this postseason.
Howard Beck joining us. You know, you're on this topic, but let me ask you this. Like, when it comes to Durant and the Warriors, there's this school of thought that will start with a sentence that's something like, well, I'm not going to say the Warriors are worse with Durant, but you've heard that. So, like, what do you make of that? Is that just people doing what people do, or is there actually something to that? Is there a discussion?
No, I think it's a completely invalid one, and I understand it. And it's, you know, look, we're going to, as much time as we spend analyzing these teams and overanalyzing at times, I think that every single theory is going to come out at some point. So if there are people who have lobbed that out there, I get it. But no, listen, they have been stronger for having Durant. They needed somebody who could play in isolation when necessary, right? That's not the Warriors' personality. They're not a team that wants to rely on isolation ball, on individual heroics. They're not a hero ball team. They're a ball and player movement team. And at their best, it's beautiful to watch. But sometimes that gets taken away from you. Sometimes it bogs down. And the Rockets, for the last two springs in a row, have done a good job of taking the Warriors out of that. And that's when you need a release valve like Kevin Durant. Without him, you know, it does put them in a vulnerable position because as gifted as Curry is, he can create some on his own, but, you know, that's not his strength is not going to be to go break down a defense, and he certainly can't shoot over guys the way that Kevin Durant can. And Durant is a rare, you know, individual in so many respects, but not least of which is that because of his skill set and size, he can get a shot off anywhere. They're going to miss that, period. But if they return to essentially their old personality of just a constant ball and player movement, those backdoor cuts, everything else, they can manufacture offense, and they still do have the best shooting backcourt in NBA history.
We're talking to Howard Beck. All right, then, Howard, go back to the Rockets. It was not an elimination game last night, but given how shaky the Warriors were in the second half and the fact that Durant was out, how much of a missed opportunity was that for Houston?
Oh, I mean, huge, huge missed opportunity. Because, you know, first of all, there's just the basic statistics. We know, you know, tie series at 2-2, the game five winner wins the series, 82% of the time, whatever. So there's that. The chance to steal a game there. The chance just to deflate the Warriors at that point, too. I mean, if you think about the 1-2 punch of losing Durant potentially for the rest of the postseason and losing the game, I mean, that just would have been just, you know, devastating. And so it's a huge missed opportunity for the Rockets. But look, they've got a home game coming, knowing that Durant is not playing. And, you know, they're going to feel pretty confident. I have no doubt about that. And, you know, I think it's more likely than not that we're seeing a game seven.
We were talking to Howard Beck. I was going to say, Howard, given the fact that each game in this series has been a two-possession game and KD is out, and you answer this in part, is there any way to predict how this thing's going to play out?
No, and that's fine. Like,
right.
The thing is, like, I don't want to say it's great that Durant is out. It's not. It's terrible for basketball. It's terrible for the NBA. It's terrible for fans. It's terrible for everybody except for, I guess, the Rockets and their fans. But even before he went down, I would say that the beauty of this second round has been that we've had a lot of suspense and mystery just kind of woven into it. You know, it's not surprising the Celtics went down last night. But it is surprising if you go back to the start of the second round, it would have been shocking to think that they were going to go out in five. Like, I thought all four series before the second round began had a chance to go the distance. And we still may see, you know, a couple of these go the distance. And, you know, I'm not about to try to predict where this one is going. The Warriors winning a game six is a huge task on the road, but they can pull it off. They're the kind of team that has, you know, obviously done great things in the postseason and on the road. It wouldn't surprise me if they pulled it off. It won't surprise me if it goes to a game seven. It won't surprise me which way that game seven goes. I mean, I feel like we're helpless when it comes to predictions right now, and that's fine. I'd rather I enjoy the suspense.
I said the same thing, Howard. There's nothing to me. There's no certainty other than game six is tomorrow night and that KD will not go. We'll find out when the ball goes up. All right, so you mentioned the Celtics. Nearly 2 years back, you yourself raised the question, is Kyrie a franchise star? What did you see then that inspired that question, and how much has that answer changed since then?
You know, his years in Cleveland were kind of an interesting mix, Jim, because before LeBron got there, as we know, as great as Kyrie was, and he was young, but they just couldn't win. They couldn't even get anywhere near the playoffs before LeBron arrived. And then during the LeBron years, every time LeBron was out, anytime he missed any stretch of games, Kyrie wasn't enough. Even with Kevin Love there, even with a strong veteran supporting cast, Kyrie had a losing record without LeBron. And there were just certain things about him that, you know, you could see and you could hear just whispers from within the Cavs and around the league about Kyrie's makeup during those Cavs years, that he was moody, that he could be kind of detached, that, you know, if you watched him, you could see he tended to still be kind of ball dominant. He wasn't, you know, a great distributor. He wasn't a great defender, although occasionally he decided to play defense at a high level and you'd say, oh, wow, well, he can do it. Let's, you know, why doesn't he do that more often? So there were just all these kind of caveats that came with him, especially if you wanted to put him in the role of franchise star with all the responsibility and burdens and expectations that come with that. And when the Celtics made that trade, the reason I wrote that column at the time was partially my own impressions, but as you people can see in the column, it was a lot of me talking to people with the Cavs, scouts around the league, other executives who all had some of those same concerns that yeah, he's incredibly talented, great potential, and maybe he evolves and becomes a better leader, a better defender, a better distributor. But what if he doesn't? And are the, what are the Celtics banking on with this trade? Now, I'm not questioning the trade itself, especially at this point. Obviously, Isaiah Thomas was damaged goods, and you know Jay Crowder was a nominal piece, and the pick, instead of being a top three or top five pick, became the eighth pick, and it's Colin Sexton. This is not to say that the trade was suddenly a mistake. On the Celtics side of it, I'm not sure who won that trade ultimately. But what it is to say is that there were doubts and some concerns about Kyrie Irving as a franchise star at the time the Celtics acquired him. And I think those same concerns are certainly prominent right now. And it's all, you know, those are all the things everybody was talking about when they went down last night, and including Grant Hill on NBA TV questioning, you know, whether Kyrie was the right fit and was ready to take on all those responsibilities.
Howard Beck, my guest, senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report. Oh, Howard, I got a question. What the hell is happening with the LA Lakers?
Man, if only I knew, Jim.
The hell with the Lakers?
They are not the Lakers that I covered for 7 years through the Shaq Kobe era. And that was a chaotic, crazy era. But, like, you know, they were winning. And, they, you know, there was some dysfunction on the court at times. But, you know, the place operated, you know, fairly professionally and smoothly. I don't know what to make of things right now. I'm sitting here at a distance, just looking, and I'm baffled, frankly. It doesn't feel like they've made a single right decision in the last month.
So if you're LeBron James, what are you thinking about this organization, the one that you signed with less than a year ago?
He's got to have doubts, right? I mean, we're not going to hear them anytime soon, if ever, maybe down the road if we ever do hear. But he's, you know, he wanted to be in L.A., and everybody around the league kind of felt this at the time that he chose the Lakers last summer anyway, that this was so much about, you know, lifestyle and the stage of his life that he's at and where his family wanted to be, where he wanted to be. It was about location, and it was about wanting to be part of this storied franchise, sure. But it's not as if he chose the Lakers because they had the best chance to contend immediately, right? Like, that's evident. He could have gone to Philly. He could have gone to Houston. He could have gone to teams that were in contention immediately. And he could have gone to a number of teams that were more stable. I mean, the Lakers have been in a state of flux for a while here. But, you know, I think he just kind of assumed things would, you know, smooth their way out, and that, you know, they'd get on the right track, and that he'd be part of that. And right now, you know, I don't pretend to know what's in LeBron's head, but I can't imagine he's happy seeing the way that things are unfolding.
So, Howard, finally, I got about 90 seconds. Like, Jeannie Buss is really smart. People love her. What do you think she's thinking right now? Why is she surrounding herself with who she has surrounded herself with? And what's her game plan?
Yeah, and I wish I knew the answers to those questions. I've known Jeannie since, you know, early in my NBA writing career. I mean, going back to when I started covering that team, and she's everything you just said. She's really bright, great person, and somebody I've, you know, had plenty of conversations with on and off the record over the years. I have not spoken to her during this span, and I don't suppose she's very available right now to any of us in the media. I am puzzled by the way she and Rob Pelinka have gone about this whole process. And from the moment they lost Magic Johnson, everybody around the league thought the same thing. This is a chance to reset. This is a chance to get a more seasoned, polished front office in charge and go from there. And instead, Rob Pelinka, who's, you know, not had a great track record so far and doesn't have great relations around the league, is the one, you know, moving this thing forward. And they don't have a complete front office. It's, you know, and it's showing in this coaching search.
That's absolutely fair. He is a senior NBA writer at Bleacher Report. He is a contributor to NBA TV and NBA Radio. Also a good friend of the program, Howard Beck. That's how you close the show. Howard, thank you very much. Always good to talk to you. Great job.
You too, Jim. Thanks, man.
Have a great day, Howard. My man used to cover the Lakers for the Daily News back in the day. Huge call today, sponsored by Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Separate business from personal. Feel more professional in your customer interactions with the Grasshopper business phone solution. Better small business communication starts with Grasshopper. Try it for free at grasshopper.com. Now we're done. Good show today. Did not get anywhere near all the things I wanted to cover, including the smack-off storylines. That will hold. I'll get to that tomorrow, and then we will be 42 days away. My thanks to Rip Hamilton, Joel Sherman, Howard Beck, the XR4TI crew, and all of you for listening and doing what you do. Have an amazing day. Come back, finish strong, hit it hard tomorrow. We'll see you then. We're out.